Thank you. Sometimes we just don't make any sense to the people around us. Have you ever noticed that? That as followers of Christ, people who give testimonies, as you say, we just don't make sense to people. They hear us talk about how great Jesus is. They see us going to church on Sunday mornings. They see us giving, and they think, boy, you are really just a little different. And some even look at us and they say, I wish what you say could be true for me. I wish this testimony that you share, this what you describe as a relationship with God, could be real for me. Anybody have a friend like that or know someone like that who's expressed that to you? If they haven't expressed it to you, I want to assure you, you know people like this. In the back of their mind, there are a couple questions. But does he understand me? Does this God really get me? Does he understand how I think, how I feel? Does he understand how I face the world? And also, does he want me? I mean, it's one thing for you to say that he wanted you and gave his son for you, but does he want me? And then does he want me to find him? A very close friend of mine, I'll call Steve, when I was living in Washington, D.C., he used to just grab me by the shoulders and say, I want your God, but I don't think he wants me. Because I'm looking for him. I don't know if he wants me to find him. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 13, recorded in verses 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had, bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus gets us. He didn't just give sermons and lectures. He just threw out these little stories. And if you think you understood what I just read, God's trying to speak to you. Because Jesus actually didn't tell the parables to try to make things more clear. He told parables so that proud people wouldn't be able to hear him. So if you're understanding something from what I just read, God's speaking to you, and I urge you to listen. Kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. A treasure, a pearl. The kingdom of God is like this. Do you realize the gift that we celebrate in saying that we have salvation in Jesus Christ? We so devalue it. We so value other things more than our relationship with God. Look at what he gives us. His Holy Spirit, his very presence with us. He gives us forgiveness. Do you realize, and you heard it in Ada's and Sosie's testimony, that our past is forgiven because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. Everything that you wish you never did, all the pain that you caused others, he's forgiven. Our past is clean. Access to God in prayer. What would it be like if he saved you and said, okay, now just wait and we'll talk again when we get to heaven? What would your life be like? What if he said, no, you don't get to pray? You can talk all you want, but I'm not going to listen to you. That's not our God. That's not our God. He gives us the gift of prayer, peace with God. Yes, forgiveness, but just knowing that you're not at war with him anymore and that you can say, God, I disagree with you. I'm going to agree with you, but I'm struggling with you. That he doesn't look at you as an enemy. Have you said thank you for that lately? His strength. The kingdom of God is like a treasure. It's like a pearl of great value. What would your life be like if you could not receive the strength of God day by day? What would it be like? The word that comes to my mind is despair. But that word means an ache. That word means tears. That word means hopelessness. That word means impatience toward everybody else because I need something more than what I am. And he says, do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not despair. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The kingdom of God is like a treasure. The kingdom of God is like a pearl of great value. His promises. I just heard watched a video. You know, Luis Palau came to Fresno last year. And I don't know how many of you know much about Luis Palau's life. Luis is a tremendous evangelist. For the last 30 or 40 years, he's gone around the world. Not just the English-speaking world, but the Latin-speaking world, the Spanish-speaking world, and shared the gospel. And hundreds of thousands of people have come to Christ. And Luis has just been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And so he and his sons recorded a video. And I was overwhelmed by his sense of confidence in the face of his cancer and the promises of God. That God is faithful. And he even used the expression from 2 Samuel, as for God, his ways are perfect. Perfect? He's trusting God, and it increased my faith to say, okay, in the face of whatever I face or whatever those I love are facing, God keeps his promises. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you. And there's hundreds of promises in the scripture. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. It's like a pearl of great price. His help in temptation. I've been thinking a lot about this verse from Hebrews 2:18. For since Jesus himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Are you glad about that? Since he's been tempted just like we are, and yet without sin, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Would you describe the kingdom of God like a treasure? It's a treasure. And what I love is that in the two parables, he shows us two types of people. The first one stumbles upon the treasure. The second one's looking for it. Imagine being the worker in a field. Maybe you've got an ox in front of you. Maybe you've got a plow. Maybe you're just hacking away at the soil, preparing it for planting. And you swing your shovel or hoe or pick, and then, or your plow hits and thud. Don't, wait, that doesn't sound like soil. And you dig around a little bit, and because they don't have banks, and because armies would come and go, people would hide their treasures in their fields. And you're just working, and if there's a treasure in the field, it belongs to the person who owns it. And before you judge the guy, saying, you know, he should have gone to the owner. No. The owner of that field, he didn't know that was there. Finds a treasure and goes and sells everything he has and buys the field. Hides it again. And did you notice what motivated him? It doesn't say, when a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his greed, went and sold all that he had and bought that field. What did it say? Joy. From his joy of finding this treasure, he says, I want the field. And just in case you're thinking, wait, does this mean he bought his salvation? No, he bought the field. The treasure was in the field. The treasure was in the field. He buys it, sells everything he has. He stumbled upon this treasure. That's different than the merchant. Okay, now again, where does this story, where is it told? It's told in Palestine. It's told in Israel. There's no pearls in the Mediterranean. Divers would have had to take these from the Red Sea, maybe even the Indian Ocean, and they would have been brought to Israel. Traders would go all over the known world to find pearls. This merchant is looking. He finds one of great value. He sells everything because this one's worth it. The first person stumbles on it, buys a field, and, you know, if it wasn't originally in the context of Israel, I would have said this guy was Armenian. Because he got a deal. No one knew it, and he got it, and that's just the joy. I could absolutely relate to this joy. And the second one reminds me of Armenians too, because we're always looking for the best. And have you noticed that we'll pay? We're not just people who want, you know, if it's not a deal, if it's not on sale, I'm not going to buy it. If we find the right thing, we'll pay, even if it means sacrificing a whole lot. Which one are you relative to the kingdom of God? Have you stumbled across the gospel? You weren't really looking for it, but you ran into someone who happened to share with you that God, and you thought, oh, yes, I want that. What's it going to cost me? Everything? Sure. I will give up everything if I can know Jesus. Some of you are like that. But others of you, if you were to share your testimony would have this maybe even circuitous route of trying to look for, is it here? No, it's not there. Okay, let me try. No, this doesn't salvate. Ah, Jesus. He pays the debt I could never pay for myself. This is God coming to human beings. This isn't me looking for God. It's him looking for, this is it. This is it. This is it. The Son of God left heaven, humbled himself, became a human being like us, gave his life to save us. He gave his life to save us. Is it worth it? I used to ask the question, was it worth it for God? Is it worth it for God to give his own son for us? Doesn't strike me that God's Armenian. Because we don't overpay. He does. He gave his son so that we might have life. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. It's like a pearl of great value. Both sacrifice everything because the treasure and the pearl are worth it. Jesus is the treasure. Jesus is the treasure. I want to read to you in English what Badvili read in Armenian. What Vartan said to the Persian king that was demanding that they give up Jesus so they could continue to live. They could keep their lives. From this faith, no one can shake us. Neither angels nor men, neither sword nor fire nor water nor any or all other horrid tortures. All our goods and possessions are in your hands. Our bodies are before you. Dispose of them as you will. If you leave us to our belief, we will, here on earth, choose no other master in your place, and in heaven, no other God in place of Jesus Christ, for there is no other God. But should you require anything beyond this great testimony, here we are. Our bodies are in your hands. Do with them as you please. Tortures from you, submissions from us. The sword is yours, the neck is ours. We are no better than our forefathers who, for the sake of this faith, surrendered their goods, their possessions, and their bodies. Were we even immortal, it would become us to die for the love of Christ. For he himself was immortal and so loved us that he took death on himself, that we, by his death, might be freed from eternal death. And since he did not spare his immortality, we who became mortal of our own free will, we will die for his love willingly, so that he may make us participators in his immortality. We shall die as mortals, that he may accept our deaths as that of immortals. Do not therefore interrogate us further concerning all this, because our bond to this faith is not with men to be deceived like children, but with God, to whom we are indissolubly bound and from whom nothing can detach or separate us, neither now nor later nor forever and ever. The gospel is worth our lives. Everything they had. The poor stumbling guy gave it all up for the treasure. He saw that it was worth it. The merchant gave up everything, sold it all, because he saw that it was worth it. Do you? Is it worth it? Is Jesus worth it for you? Again, forgiveness, peace with God, his strength, prayer, the Holy Spirit, his promises, his help in temptation. Is it worth it? Is the kingdom of God, is your relationship with Jesus worth it? If it is, make up your minds that he gets it all, that you hold nothing back. Empty your pockets. Empty the pockets of your heart. This morning we were in prayer, and will you say yes to him even if it means tremendous loss? Will you say yes to him if it means sacrifice? Will you continue to follow him if it demands of you, if it costs you? Your answer depends on whether you think he's worth it. This morning, we are going to come to the table. We are going to celebrate communion with Jesus. And frequently, you'll hear me say the obligation that I have as a minister of Jesus Christ to say that this table is not for everybody. And I have to do that. I have to, because God said through the Apostle Paul, don't you dare come to this table. People have died coming to this table in an unworthy manner. Without faith, without trust, considering it some bread and some juice or some wine, they would die. And so this morning, or this afternoon now, I'm inviting you to this table as the answer to the question, is Jesus worth it? If your answer is yes, take the bread, take the cup, and rejoice. Kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Do you sell everything? Kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who finds a great pearl. Do you sell everything? Does he have all of you? If our ushers could please come. Those who will be serving communion, Bodville, if you'll join me.